Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Thanks again for joining us. So what does it mean to be Latina in South Florida? If you're from South America, Central America, Cuba, Puerto Rico, or Mexico, this one-woman performance highlights the multi-layers of Latina women in Miami by showing the many roles that women play and their resiliency in their daily life. The performance is called Fuacata, or Yay. Latina's Guide to Surviving the Universe. I knew I was going to get that right. It is back in Miami by popular demand. It stars more than 20 Latinas, all played by Elena Maria Garcia, the Cuban-American artist based the characters on her life experiences while growing up in South Florida. And the show centers around the themes of love, marriage, immigration, identity, so many things. Again, it follows the story of a Latina's busy workday and how she deals with the many fuacatas, or unfortunate events during a normal day in Miami. Joining us in studio is Elena Maria Garcia. She hopes the performance will inspire Latinos to get their act together. Hopefully, maybe. We'll see. Elena, such a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you. I cannot believe this.
All right. First of all, just explain. And I've been practicing. I really have. Fuacata. What is that?
Fuacata is a figurative backhanded slap that will unhinge your jaw. And kind of wakes you up,
yeah. Especially the way you say it. I don't put the emphasis on it that you do.
Yeah, it depends where you are. You know, parents. You know, they look at you and go, "Fuacata." You know, it just depends. It depends on the level, how far back they will pull that hand. Yeah.
Any Latinos in there with Latino parents? We know. 24 characters.
Yeah, 24.
How'd you decide on that many?
We didn't decide on 24. We just started writing it. Stuart Meltzer, the artistic director of Zoetic Stage, along with myself, we just started with the character of Elena and her battle of trying to get café. And then as we kept writing, these characters would show up. And there were other characters that showed up, but we cut them out.
And who are these women exactly? I mean, are these real people that you've known?
Yes. For example, the character of Marisol, I've always, when I'm in Miami and I see these people on the median selling water or oranges, etc., I've always wondered what their story is like. And so we researched and found this one character, this one woman, Marisol, and her journey through human smuggling and all of that stuff and how she got here. And so we kind of developed her, that character. Mommy is mommy. Everybody has the mommy. It you have no idea. I think it after they go over the 60-65 hump, they all go into that one mold.
Right.
Yeah. And so mommy is my mom.
Is there one character that you, I guess, resonates most with you?
Wow. That resonates. Yes. Graciela.
Who is Graciela?
Graciela is a performance artist. And her performance is not the best in the world, but she gives it her all. And that character is actually based on my cat. I know, I would love to say, wow, you know, I went, no. And because I would talk through my cat, I know anyone that has animals, we usually put words to them sometimes, you know, we speak for them. And then I would speak for my cat, and then Graciela showed up, and I was like, oh, I want to do her.
Can we meet Graciela?
Ay, pues Graciela, pues sí. I would like to let everyone know there is so much love in this room right now in NPR. I love NPR. I love NPR. I love the journalists. They have so much love in their soul, and they want to give it to everyone. They are the right news, my friend. Yes, NPR. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. El amor, el amor, el amor.
So I'm watching. You know what I'm watching is you're doing this. Uh-huh. And I always find fascinating with performers is how they get into character. Mm-hmm. And everybody's got their thing, whatever it is. Some people need a moment, and other people can do it right away. You just jumped right in. But how do you do that? Because you've got 24, 25 of these things,
yeah,
characters. So what's your technique?
It's physically. I just have to find through a lot of rehearsal and trying to find these characters physically and go from one to the other and be able to the detail in them, and I live them. When I speak like them, my body automatically goes into that, and it's something I've done my whole life. I used to get in a lot of trouble, you know, making, copying people, etc. And now it's paying off, kids.
So it's body movement,
body, voice. The center of energy, you know, wherever that character is, and staying there, and then, you know, like, you know, doing Graciela. I can't do Graciela without being Graciela.
What is the Latina experience in South Florida, in Miami specifically?
It's the hustle. It's the getting up, always being at your top game, and you have to hit everything at 100%. And if you don't, you know, there's that sense of you're not doing your best, but yet we are. And I am also, I mean, there's the Miami, you know, the Miami Latina, but I'm also, I'm a Broward Cuban.
There's a difference.
Huge difference. But yeah, it's still, I mean, a working mother today is just an Olympic feat. It really is.
You know what? You say today, but I think always. I could say, yeah, watching my mom, what she was doing growing up. You grew up in Broward County.
Yes.
What? Tell us about those differences. What was it like for you as you're growing up?
Well, growing up in Broward, I was truly a minority. We were one of the few Cuban families or Hispanic families in Plantation. And a huge amount of discrimination and bullying and threats and the whole shebang, all through school, until finally in high school, my Latin sisters were there, Madonna Academy, yay. And we were all of a sudden, there were other Hispanic names, you know, Rosa Aleman, Dalia Sanchez. I'm like, what? I'm not the only Garcia in here? And then it was like, we have to band together. And we did. It was then it was a family.
But as you were growing up, did you have to hide? Did you try to hide your ethnicity?
No. That's why I got beat up.
Because you wanted, you're Garcia.
Garcia, Elena. Not Elaine, Alana, Alina, Mary, Marsha. Those were all of my fun names that they called me. Instead of Elena. I would say Elena Garcia, and they would go, oh, you Mexican? You speak Mexican, right? That was, yeah. Well, that was in Davie.
How much did that kind of play into, you know, that desire to want to perform? I mean, I don't know if that was that an escape for you? Did it help you in any way?
No. I've always wanted to perform since I was five, when I saw Shirley Temple in The Little Princess.
That's where it all started.
Yeah, when I showed my mom that's what I wanted to do, and she told me, shut the hell up. You're not going to be that. No, in Cuba, ay Dios mío, una prostituta. You know, that's what I would end up being. Well, but that generation, that's how they saw, you know, an actor or someone in the arts. But now she's my number one fan.
When did that change, though?
When they saw me in college on stage. And they were like, yeah. She can do it.
That's fine. They finally bought into it.
They were like, all right, we got to stop fighting this.
I'm talking with Cuban-American actress Elena Maria Garcia. I'm going to get this right.
Don't say Marsha.
Nope. She's starring in a one-woman show called Fuacata.
Yes!
Fuacata, Latina's Guide to Surviving the Universe. She's performing more than 20 different characters. By the way, it's at the Adrian Arts Center, and it starts tonight.
It's a preview. It opens tomorrow, but preview tonight.
Yeah. I wanted to come back to, when you wanted to start acting, and that I think that's an interesting story, really the immigrant story, because, you know, you tend to hear the story of immigrants. They come to this country and they want their kids, get the education, and then to have a great career. And so I'd imagine that was pushed on you. They wanted you to be what? What did your parents want you to do?
They knew I was no good in math. And my father said, listen, you're so into, you know, your health. Why don't you become a dietitian? I said, I would kill my first patient. I can't do that. Because my father, may he rest in peace, he would always say, I can give you anything, and anyone could take it away from you. But one thing I can give you that no one can take away is your education. So you, when he saw me on stage, that's when he said, that's it. I need to be quiet. This is what she wants to do. And from that moment on, they realized, you know what? Everyone has a gift. And if you don't feed that gift, it goes away. So feed the gift. And they went ahead and they supported me. And I'm, you know, I do what I do today because of their support. Now, truly, before that, there was intervention, just like they have drug intervention, they had career intervention. And they would bring family and friends in pretending like they were visiting me, but they weren't. And then I'd be like, oh my God, how are you? And I'm, oh no, not another one. And they sit down, Elena, you can't do this to the family. You don't understand. You could be so many other things. I, an actress. Yeah. And then again, now it's like, ay, Elena. Yes, she's fantastic. Es Elena. Ay, Dios mío. Yeah, now everything changed.
By the way, how many of your characters have any of your family up there on the stage? Or do they think that they're seeing themselves up there on the stage?
My mother, one of my daughters, I've got two daughters, Anna and Emma, and I kind of put them in one character. I've got my family, the story that the mommy does about the Ida and Pancho, that those are my parents, and how in the park in Santi Espiritu where they grew up, how they would walk around the park, and my mother always wanted my father to notice her, and there, and the flan that the recipe is the actual recipe my mother makes, which by the way, it's the best flan you'll ever have. Anyway, and so yeah, there's bits and pieces, my family name Candelaria, and yeah, so I sprinkled it a little bit. And Mr. Stuart Meltzer was amazing with that. He said, absolutely.
And you got your cat in there, too. So
yes, Pablo el Diablo.
Something else that's interesting is at one point in the program, in the show, you have four characters going at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So now how is it for you? Is it something you're trying to show the audience, a separation? Or what is it you're doing in that scene?
There's usually It's a high energy. It's Elena coming in, and then the head teacher, Ms. Puig, and the excited intern, and it's that scene. So it's just simple shifts, but you can tell that it's a scene. It's a scene. It's any Latin family when telling a story does all the characters at one shot. And they explain it, and you follow along. You know exactly what they're talking about. I mean, this, I was in rehearsal since I was five. Okay? Watching my mother doing everybody at the same time and changing her voice and her mannerisms and all of that. Yeah, so that's normal for us. To hear someone just tell a story, you're like, oh, where's the color? And then I remember going to University of Florida. Again, the only Cuban in my department. And I was told, wow, y'all so expressive. Please don't use your hands. And I'm like, what? But I'm like, that's how we talk. No, no one talks like that. I won't come down south. That's how we all talk.
I mean, there's humor, but you do touch on some pretty hardcore issues.
Yes, we do. Absolutely.
So, I mean, is it, you know, do you care when people are laughing, or is it no, we're going to talk about something important now? Or for you, what does it mean as you're performing on stage when you're changing topics and issues?
When I go from it's a relatively funny scene, and we move into Marisol, the girl from Honduras, the audience is still in that laugh mode, and then when they realize I literally feel the audience sit back and go, what happened? I thought this was a comedy, but they get it. They get it. And I have to have them in the palm of my hand at the very beginning. And then I hold them. I go, don't worry, buddy. Just trust me. We're going to go through little bumps, but you need the bumps. And it's not heavy handed like that. It's enough for you to go, ho, 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 clever. That was good. So we do. We bring in our Mexican American, and she talks about compassion. And we talk the girl from Honduras, Marisol, and she talks about just being free. That as Americans, we take that like, psh, and what she goes through, and still she's so thankful. The fake news.
Tell me about it.
Oh, it's just small.
Tell me about it.
It's just a one-liner, and I always get, oh, from the audience. I'm like, that's right. But it's the character that says it. It's Beatrice Goldberg, and she says it, so it's okay.
I'm just going to bug you. I want to hear the line now.
Oh, the line
yes.
is? Well, I can't, am I allowed to, I can't cuss.
Oh, no, that's okay. That's okay then.
I can't.
If you can't, then don't.
No.
That's okay. You know what? Something about you that I'd read was that I thought was interesting is here we are in South Florida and we have this, you know, this big mix of really every kind of Latino,
mm-hmm.
you know, and what's always interesting, and you've run into this a lot, is, well, people who don't know may think, oh, a Latino's a Latino. And yet, you know, that I'm half Puerto Rican, half Colombian. Those are two very different people.
Very.
And a Mexican is different from a Guatemalan, from a Peruvian.
Yes.
Everybody's very different.
Very much.
But how do you think we see our differences? I mean, you know, I want your take on how Latinos see Latinos.
We come together when there is an adversary, when there's someone that is against. Okay, and then we all come together, but then we're against each other. You know, you can't, don't mix a Mexican with a Cuban. Those are fighting words. I'm like, why? I don't get it. I understand that we are absolutely different countries, cultures, etc. But if we could just come together and really work, I mean, we would be such a powerful force. We really would, especially now with everything that is happening, all of these children. I mean, I marched over there in Homestead and still had some Latin saying, nah, they chose to be there. I'm like, I'm going to go to prison. I'm like, what? How come it was okay for when you came during the Castro regime and this country had their arms open, but now it's not okay. How did that, what's the difference between your freedom and their freedom?
Do you think that things are changing? Do you think that Latinos are coming together in some way? And it's not just what's happening in this country, but think about what's going on in a lot of these other countries. I mean, think about what's happening in Venezuela. Mm. Think about all these different, are Latinos maybe coming together or no?
No. I don't think I think there's so much more work to that. I think what's happening in Venezuela just breaks my heart. It is horrible. I had a friend of mine that just came and she says, Elena, you can't even imagine. And to know that it's, you know, bueno, that's them. No, it's not them. I think as a community, we could be so much stronger. Our communication could be much clearer. We could do so much for each other. And and even with the children right now that are in all these detention centers, there's more to this. And also the politicians say, you know.
So how does your show bring all of this together, bring all of these groups together?
Elena finds herself fighting or kind of not fighting, but trying to teach her daughter that there's a difference between the two flags, the Puerto Rican flag and the Cuban flag. And in the end, she has a cathartic moment of realizing, no, we're all together here. And one of the characters, Lulu, kind of says to her, Elena Flores, come on now. Why are we all fighting over whose flag is what? We need to all come together and join forces. You know what I mean?
Wait a minute. What is that? A little New Yorican?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Oh. Oh. Yes. Lulu. She's done some time. Yeah. But for the right reasons. Okay. For the right reasons.
Is there one character that was the hardest to bring out?
Uh, Puig, I think, Ms. Puig, she was part of Operation Bedroban. And she comes to this country. She brings her mother here, but she never marries because she becomes the typical, you know, I'm here to take care of my mom. And she stays and takes care of her mom. But she, the whole, her whole thing is looking at parenting in the United States, parenting, how it's all a competition. And yet she, all she wanted was her parents to be with her. And she doesn't, her father never comes over.
Anyone who's never seen a one woman, one person show, these are amazing. These are, when they're, it really is flabbergasting when you're sitting there and you see one person give you this wide range of a community. If they do it right, you really, you think you've met that many people. What do you tell people to expect, you know, how to approach a show like this if they've never seen one?
Use your imagination. Just allow it. I mean, there's no costume changes. There's nothing. It's just me. And it's storytelling. It really is storytelling from beginning to end, and just get on the ride and just allow yourself and be open to it. That's it.
Well, I could say this. I mean, just from watching you and the few characters you've done, there's no costume change. You completely changed and you became another person. I was watching you do that. That's hilarious. Again, the preview is tonight.
Yes.
And it starts tomorrow. It's at the
yes.
Adrian Arch Center.
Yes.
Again, Elena Maria Garcia. It is called Fuacata.
Yes.
Gosh, I got it. Thank you. Latina's Guide to Surviving the Universe. And you know what? We're going to do a Facebook Live right after the program. So you're going to give us a little bit more of a taste. All right. So
can I give a shout out to my New World kids, my Universal Acting, and my Nova Southeastern University students?
Yay! All right. Perfect. Elena, thank you so much. I appreciate
it. Thank you, NPR. You rock.